So good to see everyone here. Glad to know that such devotion is in this area, Lady Luck. These folks need it. They need to see your light shining. They need to see your joy in the Lord and in your desire to live righteously, soberly, and godly. Waiting on Jesus to come back. That's what it is indeed all about. And of course, that's what we want the assembly to do every time we come together. Encourage all the saints who come to that end. Tonight I want to stress worship. And basically get to the absolute core of it. Most of the time when we look at John 4:24, God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I remember growing up in the church, and most all my life when I would hear that explained, it was attitude and truth. It would be, we have to have the right attitude in worship, and you've got to let the Bible be your guide in worship. Well, the part about truth was not hard. That was easy to get. But it was, as I studied on my own and got a little older and a little older, the point of attitude just seemed shallow, superficial. There's much more to it. Now, truly, Joshua told his folks in In Joshua 24, verse 14, now, serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. So there's the point of sincerity there. It's, of course, we want to serve the Lord, worship the Lord in sincerity and truth. Of course, we want the proper attitude of reverence when we worship. But let's go back to John 4, 24. Back up a little bit. Jesus says to the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know. We, meaning the Jews, we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews, or from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, but those who worship him will worship in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The force of that discussion seems to expand on anything Joshua was talking about. Look at it this way. If spirit equates to attitude, then is it God is attitude? Is that what Jesus is saying? God is sincerity? Is that the point? Obviously not. There's much, much more to it than that. And when you realize that we live in, to speak in these terms, two worlds, one spiritual and one fleshly, then you look at how others have worshipped through the ages, how they have to have some image before them, how they, even in the Jewish law, they are surrounded by carnal commandments. And with the incense and the animal sacrifice and the vestments, and as Jesus emphasized, the place was a big deal, because out of all Israel, God chose a place to put his name there. And that's where you worshiped, where the name of God was, where the house of God was. That's where you went, and it really wasn't a good idea to try to worship anywhere else, as long as that house was a functioning place of worship. Jesus says all that changes. Now it's time to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit. So what is Jesus saying? Well, from a variety of perspectives, we can go into it. One big point he's making is you need to worship God according to his nature. Worship God according to who and what he is. not according to what he is not. Big problem human beings have when thinking about God is they want to form God in their own image. Their God, if they're not going to follow the God of the Bible, their God ends up being the God that's like them, that reflects them. Part of this concern comes from those who are trying to fight racism among us. This has been long time. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago. And they would point out that a white individual usually draws God as white. And an Indian would draw God as more oriental. Well, what's going on? And the black artists, certain ones, would draw God with a little darker skin. What's going on? Well, yes, God has been pictured as white face and white beard in Scripture in one place, Daniel 7. But he's also pictured as bronze skinned, or at least Jesus is, and the angels are. And that's in Revelation chapter 1. That's dark skinned. But is race even a consideration when you're thinking about God? If race were a consideration, he'd be a Jew. Of course, Jesus was a Jew. Maybe that's the point. But is that what is meant by worship God in spirit? No, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Now, how many lessons, and maybe the late church needs to think about this too, in terms of my ministry here, how many lessons have you heard on what it means to worship God in spirit? Maybe I need to be stressing it more. That's a big possibility. But we don't think in these terms. We don't study in these terms. When we come together, we don't come together in terms of, all right, I need to worship God according to His nature, and His nature is spirit. So my worship must be spirit, or according to spirit. Now, we understand spiritual. We use spiritual a good bit. But I don't know, do we grasp spiritual in relation to God who is spirit? That's where the term comes from. If you are spiritual, then you are copying the nature of God as God has presented Himself. So as God is spirit, you are spiritual. As God is holy, you are holy. Put it another way, you are godly, according to God in your behavior. Godliness and spirituality have the same force. It's related to God, the nature of God. So how do we do this? What does this mean, spirit to spirit? Well, you start off with understanding who a human being is. Genesis chapter 2. God formed man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. The breath of life, another word for spirit is breath or air, wind. The spirit of life could also be translated there, that phrase, breath of life. So God formed from the dust of the ground the flesh, and then within the flesh put a spirit which gave this creation life. That's why the secret to life will never be found by the materialists. Frankenstein notwithstanding. They don't get it. They will never get it. It takes the breath of God to produce life, to create life. Now, life can continue. The living gives birth to the living. That is exactly right. Plants grow with the seed of their reproduction within them as life continues relating to that plant. So that's established. But where did the seed come from? Where did the plant come from? What originally gave the plant life? Well, it has to be living, and it has to be understood as able to do that. Well, the only one able to do that is the living God. So that's the one we worship. That's the one who is spirit. If he's spirit, then he's not of this world. If he's spirit, he is beyond this world. Somebody says, Well, that means he has no form. I don't know if I'd go that far. Spirit beings have form. Moses saw the back of God, the text says, on Mount Sinai. Remember when Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock? God covered him with his hand. He said, you can't see my face, but you'll see my back. Well, there was something to hide Moses from. So there's, you know, something that spirit is real. Now, see, here's where we get caught up. It's because of the materialism of our age. We don't mean to do this, but here's where we always end up. If you see a movie about a spirit, it's going to be a ghost story. That's what it's going to be. Well, are we to worry about ghosts? No, of course not. That's nonsense. So, when I tell you, in all seriousness, you have to worship in spirit, if I take that too far, it's real easy for you to go, well, that sounds like nonsense. Spirit and reality don't work with us. But on the other hand, could we have the material if there was not the spiritual? The answer is no. Spiritual's first. The eternal had to be first, and then that which is temporal. From the eternal. You have to have life to be able to beget life. You have to have eternal life to be able to create temporal life as we know it here and now in this creation. Well, so it's very reasonable to expect spirit to be behind all that we see. And yet, do we still know what to do with it? Well, you always have to go back to the mirror. Who's that person looking back at you in the mirror? What's your reflection all about? Well, it's you as a human being. And you're able to recognize yourself because you are not Rover, thinking that that's a stranger in the mirror. You are a human being who knows exactly who that is. That's me. So you have self-identity, self-consideration. That's part of being made in God's image. You have the ability to understand what love is. You have the ability to understand what gravity is. You have the ability to understand what soul is. Well, those are concepts beyond the material that are only grasped by those with mind, able to reason in their thinking. Well, that's a big deal. That demonstrates you have a spirit. You have within you the mark of the image of God. You have that. That makes you you. That also establishes your value beyond anything the government sees in you. Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and get you. Found out today that Canada had a "we're going to help you" dialogue. And it was very restrictive when it first got on the books. But now with their present administration, they're opening up, they're at least discussing it. They may have already decided that the law will apply to anyone who believes himself or herself too poor. You heard me right. P-O-O-R. If you're a Canadian and you consider yourself too poor, you go to the proper registry and they'll work out an appointment to kill you. That's the government trying to enforce the idea. Abortion, same thing. Is the government trying to enforce the idea that they get to decide what value you have? Christianity is so important. What the Bible teaches is so vital here. Because it teaches plainly every individual simply because they exist. Every individual has intrinsic value from God Himself. Wasn't that the genius mentality that created the Declaration of Independence for us? And then the Constitution. Our rights don't come from government, they come from God. They're divine rights. They're God-given rights. Instead of the king being the only one with divine right, every human being has that right. Now, we've had a hard time working consistently with the application, but the principle is fairly easy to grasp. Now, why do you have that value? Because you are a spirit. Because you are a spirit individual. You have a spirit housed in your flesh that gives your flesh animation, that gives you life. As a human being, body, soul, and spirit is vital for the human being. 1 Thessalonians 5 and other places. So what is Jesus talking to this woman about in these wonderful, succinct words? He's talking about the nature of God, talking about her, therefore to acknowledge how that nature applies to her, and therefore how she is to respond to God who gave her that nature. Which is what? Well, it's this. Spirit to spirit. Psalm 139 is also very helpful here. When you get a chance, you might want to turn there and review that. But for now, let's just do this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. This is speaking of inspiration, the apostles' inspiration. Here's what it says, and prophets as well. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our, I love that phrase, God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, that's talking about Jesus, of course, the Lord of glory. But this brings us back to the Garden of Eden. This brings us back to what God planted in the garden. This brings us back to the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve, understanding their nature, flesh and spirit, were to choose that which exalted their nature, which even way back then was spiritual. That's why the tree of life was ever before them. Without restriction, it was ever before them to help remind them of that. Satan tempted and encouraged them to think in terms of the flesh so that they would value themselves according to the flesh, so that their value would be fleshly and not spiritual. So did they go up or they go down in their own estimation? Well, they went down. Now, did they understand all the ins and outs of this as we're presenting it from John 4? Well, no, of course not. But they didn't have to. They knew enough to make a reasonable, responsible decision for what God had put before them. And Satan, because they listened to the devil who was telling them God lied to them, because they listened to that, they chose the flesh. Now, what was the flesh made out of? Dust. That's why God says in rebuking them for that choice and cursing them accordingly, that's why God says, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. In other words, they chose the dust. Now the dust is their inheritance. The dust is their destiny. Death is what they get, because that's how they value themselves. Whenever Satan is allowed to hide your spiritual value from you, you'll choose the flesh every time, and you will sin every time. That's choosing the dust. Now, how does this relate to worship? Very important. Paul is talking about where the Word of God comes from. The Word of God comes from the Spirit, who relates to us the mind of God, and does it in such a way so that these who have this knowledge, inspired knowledge, are able to tell others. Who was it? Francis of Assisi thought he was supposed to preach to the animals, because the Good Commission, Great Commission says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If he did that, if he really did that, then he's missing this. You don't preach to those without spirit, without a mind to understand, able to take hold of it, be convinced of it, and to follow it. That's human beings. Human beings marked with the image of God. Those are the ones who need the preaching. Animals don't need it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. If only Adam and Eve could have held on to that. which none of the rulers of this age knew, it was hidden from them. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought Jesus was a know-nothing, a be-nothing interloper trying to deceive the people because they failed to understand the value of spirit and the glory that's in that value. So, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Notice now, the flesh can't pick up on this. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Man's imagination can't intuit this. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, or through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then verse 11. Now, don't run past verse 11. Verse 11 is very important. First part of it especially. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Change spirit to mind and you'll have what it's talking about. A man knows what is within himself. He doesn't know what is in anybody else, right? The reason for that is man's spirit is what his mind is all about. That's how he thinks. That's how he can reason. That's how he can know. His spirit. But it's all inside. You don't know what's inside me unless I tell you. I have to communicate it to you. Now, if I have Rover the dog, I can love him and pet him and feed him as long as he's fed and petted. He loves me and just thinks I'm the greatest. I can tell him my innermost thoughts and he just eats them up. But it really bothers me when Rover starts answering back and saying, Terry, you really think you need to talk in that way? Or, why are you laughing? Well, because you know dogs don't do that. What's the dog doing while I'm telling him my innermost thoughts about God and heaven and how my wife's treating me?
Snoring.
or the dog's going, waiting for his next meal. He doesn't care. Oh no, I know he cares. No, he doesn't care. Not the wag of his tail. He doesn't care. I have to talk to another human being. Then, if I talk right about what's on my mind, that other human being will know what is on my mind because I told him. That's it, folks. That's the connection. Spirit to spirit. I'm able to understand what's within me because of my own spirit within me. You're able to understand what's within me because of your spirit that my spirit communicates to. That's what it means to communicate as a human being. Now, you won't learn this in science class. They can't talk in these terms. They think they can't. Because these are not materialistic terms. But it is the truth. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if we want to know the things of God, we just look out and see the beautiful rainbow and the wonderful seasons. And is that what Paul said? No. If you want to know the things of God, the Spirit of God has to tell you. All right, let's go further. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Now the we there is the church. Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Again, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 13. These things the we here now is very specific. Those inspired by the Spirit. We also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But now, in verse 14, he's back to the more general concern. Here's the thing. How am I supposed to live a spiritual life? Am I supposed to live a spiritual life? Most certainly. Well, how's that supposed to happen? Well, you see, the apostles and prophets got from the Holy Spirit the mind of God, the way of God, the will of God. If I'm going to be spiritual, I have to pay attention to what the Word from the Spirit says. And then I understand it where? Within my spirit. And that's going to do what? It's going to make me more like God. More godly. Okay? More righteous. That's how it works. So, wait a minute now. Terry, you saying that the Holy Spirit just doesn't overwhelm us and show us exactly through dreams and through feelings and inclinations what God wants out of us? And I'm saying, no, that's exactly false. Your feelings, your inclinations, your dreams all come from you. They don't come from the Spirit. Oh, but they used to come from the Spirit if you were inspired. But you have to be inspired. Picked by God to receive the message. Now, if we believe the Bible, we have all we need from the Spirit in the Bible. But now, what does that make the Bible? Well, the Word of the Spirit. Turn to John 6. And look at this very carefully. And hopefully you'll understand the connection now much better than you ever have. Jesus fed the 5,000. The next day they come back and they're looking for another meal. And Jesus says, you're wanting to eat the wrong thing. You're wanting to eat food that'll make you hungry again. You ought to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then you'll never be hungry ever again. The Jews hear that and they go, what? That's ridiculous. I don't want any part of this. So they run off and leave him. But not before Jesus says this. Does this offend you? This is verse 62 now of John 6. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? That is out of sight. Where you can't hear him with your ear anymore. You can't see him with the eye. He's past you being able to put your hand on him. He's gone back to heaven. Now, what does that mean? Is Jesus gone because he went back to heaven? Is he out of touch because he went back to heaven? That's the thing. Jesus also is spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus is spirit and we are spirit, does Jesus still have a connection with us? And the answer is yes. Let's look at it. Verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some here who do not believe. Now, some in the church want to boil this all down to, yeah, all this is saying is study your Bible. That's all it's saying. No, that's not all it's saying. Just like John 4:24 is not only saying sincerity and truth. There's much, much more to it. Yes, you have to study your Bible. But why? What's going on when you study? Is it just a matter of your accumulation of knowledge from a 2,000-year-old book? Is that all we're talking about? The answer is no. We're talking about spirit to spirit. God's spirit into your spirit. And yes, your study is how that happens, study of the Word. All right, the natural man, that is the man who's got his mind where? Here. This is all he knows, this is all he cares about. Does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because God has chosen to reject him? No. He's rejecting it. Why? Because the things of the Spirit are foolishness to him. If he can't put his hand on it, it doesn't exist to him. So he's got no use for it. That is not supposed to be a Christian. A Christian's supposed to know better. See things better. Nor can he know them, even if he were to try. It wouldn't do him any good, because spiritual things are discerned on a spiritual standard. And the spiritual has its own standard. He who is spiritual judges all things. In fact, that's what's supposed to be the case. We're supposed to judge angels, remember, at the proper time. 1 Corinthians 6, how's that going to happen? Because we've allowed the Spirit to get into our minds and tell us what God wants from us. And we have listened and we obey. We trust it and we follow it. Therefore, we judge all those who rejected these things, including angels. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Quoting Isaiah, I believe. But we have, I love this verse, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. Now, the apostles and prophets got the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit when they were inspired by the Spirit. How did we get the mind of Christ? By believing what they said. By studying it, believing it, obeying it. When we do that, is it the same Spirit working all this? Most certainly. If that's the case, then what makes a man spiritual back then makes a man spiritual now. If the Bible is fully sufficient, if we mean that, then it's the Bible that makes that contact with God. Our contact with God. Even as we call the Bible, what? The Word of God. We believe that or not. If we believe it, then the contact is real. We have here in Lady Lake, the church here, we have the mind of Christ. Because we're listening to what Paul said by the words which the Holy Spirit gave him. Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Man to man. From man's mind comes the communication capable of revealing that mind to others. Okay? By the mind of the listener is that communication able to be received and understood. Just like a radio. You know, somebody transmitting, somebody receiving. That's what communication has always been. With a radio or not. Still the same thing. And do you see the radio waves? No, you just see the tools that enable you to catch the communication and bring it into you so you can understand it. Very simple. It really is. By the mind of the listener, they got to listen. But you have to listen, don't you? You can't just think you're listening. You've got to pay attention. The mind of the listener is that communication able to be received and understood from this guy. Okay, so these two folks. Minds manned is the demonstration of man's spirit. So then what's going on here? Spirit to spirit communication. That's what's going on. Every time one human being talks to another, every time. Doesn't matter how they talk, doesn't matter. If it's real communication, this is the connection. Next, God to man. From the mind of God comes the revelation of God. Amen. Perfectly put forward by the Holy Spirit. That's the value of inspiration. So nobody misses a syllable. They get the communication perfectly. Perfectly put forward by the Holy Spirit to be understood by man. And this is then spirit to spirit. That's why the apostles and prophets are so important. Is anybody inspired today? No, don't have to be, because we've got the results of the apostles and prophets. And it's called the Holy Bible. But it's still this. Perfect communication put forward by the Holy Spirit to be understood. Spirit to spirit. I'm getting to where I get real nervous when people say you can't really understand all the Bible says. I'm getting really nervous about that. Because that person sounds like they're trying to talk themselves out of Bible study. I just don't have to push on these. These things don't relate to salvation anyway, so I don't have to worry about it. All right, question, who says that anything from Scripture you can pigeonhole as irrelevant to you. Well, because my preacher didn't say so. My parents didn't say so. That's not what we do at the church. We don't talk like that at the church. Any of that hold up? It doesn't for the denominations. It's going to hold up for us? Not a chance. Not a chance. Just like the individual out there is responsible to understand the Bible for himself, so are we. And do we ever get to turn off the knowledge spigot? I don't have to worry about any more knowledge from the Bible anymore. I've got all I need. You do that, you may very well be damning yourself. Because if there's obviously more for you to learn, that obviously means God wants you to learn it. Well, he's not that involved with me. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And Paul stresses this with the Ephesians. They never saw Jesus. They never heard the voice of Jesus. They heard evangelists from Paul's school teaching them. And Paul says, you heard Jesus. You learned from Jesus. How is that possible? Only if the people were speaking inspired messages. Now, my sermons have to be inspired messages. What does that mean? It does not mean that I've got some special connection to God, separate from you. Doesn't mean that at all. It does mean they better be scriptural messages. That's the connection that accomplishes this for us. Well, let's go further. So it is, notice the capital or the lack of it. So it is spirit, then spirit to spirit. It is God's spirit to our spirit, then our spirit to each other's spirit, as we share the same truth. Like what's going on now. A little bit further. When we commune, here's the kicker. Here's the point of it all. When we commune in worship to God, it is God's spirit to our spirit, and then our spirit reaching back out to God's spirit. That's the only way it can be legitimately. Because of John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him, what's that word? Must worship him in spirit and in truth, both body. Well, if you don't have the truth, you lose the connection to spirit, don't you? If you lose the truth, you lose the connection to the spirit. Hand in hand. So here we go. Illustration. There's the Lord. We're reaching out to the Lord. What does he provide for us today? His word. In totality, all we need for life and godliness. Now, what are we going to do with that? Well, that is spirit to spirit there, God's spirit to ours. Well, we're going to study it. We're going to believe it. We're going to eat it like our daily bread. We're going to treasure it more than gold and count it sweeter than honey. It's going to mean everything to us as we know God by that word. So that's spirit to spirit. That's our spirit reaching back out to God's spirit according to truth. According to what he wants us to get. And then you've got this. All right, you learn it. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, what have you heard all your life, Christian? You're supposed to share it, aren't you? Well, that's little s spirit to little s spirit. That's spirit to spirit. That's Bible study. That's preaching to the crowd. That's making the Word of God known to anyone who would listen. And then finally, it goes back. Once that communication is done, hopefully people will take that to heart. They'll believe that, and they'll use that knowledge then to reach back out to God. But God's not around. You're reaching out to someone who isn't there. Well, okay, no, God isn't here. He's in heaven, that's true. But he's most certainly around because the connection is spiritual. So it's spirit to spirit. Do you see? Hopefully it's coming here, coming to you. This is how you keep worship important to you. It's not a matter of checking off a list so that somebody is happy somewhere that you're doing these things. It's you and God coming together and following, as His Word prescribes, what it takes to reach out to Him. Where'd you get that? What it takes? Well, you got it from the Bible. Where'd that come from? The Spirit. So it starts working in you. You believe it. You use it to reach out back to God. What's that? Spirit to Spirit. It's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. There it is. This is our fellowship with God. This is how we have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. This is the point. And yet, I've got to say this. If you have memorized all of the book of Acts, but you have not been baptized, do you have the Spirit? The answer is no. Spirit is not simply Bible knowledge. If that's what you come away with, you've missed the whole thing. Spirit is relationship that only other spirits can have with it. This is something only human beings can share, folks, with each other and with God. And it starts when we are immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Then we are given into our lives the Holy Spirit, into our heart, so that our bodies are counted temples of God. So that's why place doesn't matter anymore. Holy ground. What is holy ground? Well, it's in the cathedral. That's the holy ground. No, it's not. Well, it's at the altar. You know, we come together in the church building, we have an altar. No, it's not. The holy ground is the Christian. He is forevermore holy ground because he demonstrates the presence of God within himself. Or herself. Spirit to spirit. So, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13. Very important to get this. Very important. And as a preacher of the gospel, I apologize that we preachers have not stressed this as we should have. Maybe because we were not sure we knew what all was involved. But after my study of this, I've come to get it's not that hard. It really isn't. What's hard is getting past the assumptions and the prejudices that Satan throws at us. If we'll let the Word speak to us like we should, this is easy. And this will increase the value of the assembly of the church in your own heart. This will make it even more worthwhile to come together in Jesus' name. Because God really is here with us together as we call on the name of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? How do you know that? Preacher, how do you know that? Because God told me. And if you let me, I'll show it to you where He'll tell you the same thing. Luke chapter 9. If you're here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, what better time to do it than that? We can either receive the things of the Spirit or we can reject the things of the Spirit. That's what Stephen warned the crowd about. Receive these wonderful blessings God has for you. Come home and stay with us.
King of my life, I crown thee.